Okay, today we're sitting down in Hampton, Iowa at the Franklin Wellness Center.
Yes.
Is that where we are? Okay, cool. With Vincent Little. Am I saying it right? Vincent?
Yep.
I wonder, why do people always want to put a T on the end of
always,
your name?
Always.
Have you just battled that?
My running joke is no T's in any of my names, especially with my last name.
Oh, that's true, too. Oh, I didn't even notice that either.
Vincent Little.
Vincent Little. With DDs.
Yep.
I bet you can't find your name on anything either, then.
Nope.
So, like, when you go to Disneyland or whatever.
No, my name is never anywhere.
Yeah, neither
it's
is mine.
It's either V-I-N-C-E or V-I-N-C-E-N-T. No, V-I-C-E-N.
Okay. Well, are you one of a kind? Like, are you a junior?
Yeah.
Or are you a...
No, I'm a one of a kind.
No. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, now that we have that out of the way. Okay. So a lot of the space of what I do with these podcasts is just giving people the opportunity to tell their story. And then I kind of sit back and listen. So tell your story as if you're talking to other people that are either similar to you or not similar to you, or I don't even know why I said that. So just tell your story. This is why I'm like the worst professional at podcasting ever, but I also think it brings a realness to it, and I don't edit any of this stuff out. So if people think I'm nuts, they just will. So anyway, turning the floor over to you.
All right. So my name's Vince Little. So I was actually born with my crush of the year when I was a baby. So I was actually born partially deaf. Growing up, I spent a lot of time being picked on because of the fact of my ear, not having my left ear and being missing. I was kind of ostracized and looked at differently as a child. And over the years, I grew up in just kind of in a different world. Definitely went through some struggles, young child. As I got older, I always was very adventurous. And when I was 21, I decided to go take a snowboarding trip with my family. And during that trip, my friends were with me, a couple of my friends were with me, and we decided that we were going to go to the train park. Going through the train park, I decided to go take a 15-foot jump. On this jump, I lost my footing, and I actually did a backflip and completely landed upside down and broke my T5, four ribs, and my sternum. So I was instantly paralyzed, and so now I'm in a wheelchair. So to go back a little bit, I definitely had some struggles, you know, physically, emotionally, prior to my accident. And I think, you know, then ending up in the wheelchair became one of the positive lights in my life because it kind of woke me up and made me see the world in a different light. I ended up being very active in my rehab and spending 3 months at Craig Hospital and just trying to relearn my life and relearn how to live day to day, how to dress myself, how to do things, how to function. And, you know, my world kind of was turned upside down. Not really sure where I was going to go, what I was going to do, what I was going to do for work, you know, how I was going to support myself, take care of myself. All those kind of questions that a lot of people, you know, take when, you know, you lose the ability to walk. So after spending about 8 days in ICU, I transferred to Craig and I spent about 3 months in rehab. I got to experience one of the best rehab facilities in the country.
And, this is in Denver?
Yep, Inglewood, Colorado.
Okay.
So up in Denver, Colorado, Inglewood area. And with that, experiencing that and being at rehab, I met an OT therapist by the name of Deepa. And she was just this little girl, probably no more than 5 foot. And she one day came into my room and I had no urge to live, like none. Like I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to get dressed. I didn't want to do nothing. I just wanted to stay in bed, pout, moat, and be a cripple, you know, for short terminology, and not do anything, just not live life. And she comes up to me and she grabs me in a few choice of words and she says, Vince, you know, get your butt out of bed. Let's get you dressed. And let's get you going. And this girl manhandled me and got me up out of bed and really kind of lit a fire under me that day. So I got up, did my rehab, and I spent, you know, those 3 months there. And really after that, I worked on just relearning everything and being positive and trying to do things to better myself. after I got out of rehab, I spent a few months back at home with my mom, just trying to relearn life and spend a lot of time kind of dwelling on the situation, still struggling with my self-image and my ambition to continue on and do stuff. I was introduced to some adaptive sports by a gentleman of Justin, by the name of Justin, and he kind of got me started while I was at Craig, actually. He met me and kind of introduced me a little bit. And so I started playing on their wheelchair softball team that first year in 2008, and I ended up traveling with them to nationals and stuff. And I think that's when, you know, a light switch kind of flicked in my head. I started seeing other individuals with similar disabilities to, you know, more severe to less severe than mine. And I really started getting involved in adaptive sports and just being active again. And I found a bright star in my life with playing basketball again. He introduced me to basketball as well. And so I played with them for a while, kind of went through some rough patches in my life in that time frame. I ended up shortly, about 6-8 months after living with my mom. No offense, mom, but I couldn't stand her. I had to leave. So I ended up uprooting myself and taking a trip back out here to Iowa. And for Christmas time, I was going to come out here and spend some time with my dad and stuff. And on my way, prior to this, I had met a lady online, and I had talked with her, and I stopped and met with her. Stayed a couple weeks with her in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we ended up kind of hitting it off. And, you know, long story short, with her down the road, we ended up getting married and then divorced, kind of to about 2-3 year stint. In that time frame, though, I really got the ability to play basketball, travel a little bit. I got back into working. I started working at PayPal, a customer service disputes agent, and I really enjoyed, you know, just being active again. I moved to Arizona, took a promotion within PayPal, moved down to Phoenix, Arizona. In this time frame, I was able to attend some clinics and some different events with adaptive sports. So I attended a No Barrier Summit in Winter Park, Colorado, where I got introduced to hand cycling. I did downhill mountain biking. I did all kinds of things, things that I never thought were possible, being paralyzed, being in a chair.
Were you in sports prior?
Yep. So I played sports through high school, all but my senior year. And so that kind of always has been my thing. I always enjoyed basketball in high school. My coach, Jay Rudell, was awesome coach. I still remember the day going into the locker room in his office and meeting with him and telling him my senior year that I wasn't going to continue playing for him that year, just because of personal choice. One, financially, I wanted to work. And two, I was having clashes with other members of the team that I didn't want to, you know, embellish anymore on and cause more problems. So I just figured my senior year I would step away. So getting back into sports through the adaptive community down in Phoenix, I played for a team short-term team down there. I really, you know, wanted to do more and play more, but I also was working a full-time job. So in anybody that knows, you know, balancing a life of financially balancing your life with work time and trying to play sports, it's a big commitment. I mean, it's basically two full-time jobs. You know, Phoenix went really well. I lived down there about 2.5-3 years. And I decided, I kind of fell out of my position with PayPal, and I ended up shortly moving back to Colorado with my mom for a little bit, and, you know, just so I get a place of my own again. Living in Colorado, I met an old high school friend that we kind of moved in together, and things with her and I just kind of really went south. She beat me up, knocked me out of my wheelchair, and I just realized, you know, the vulnerability that I had being around people and you know, somebody like that and being abusive. And I'd experienced this early on in my childhood, too. So it brought back. A lot of memories, a lot of pain. So I actually attempted. I actually attempted to commit suicide 3 times. I've never told nobody. I've never had this conversation with anybody, but I try to have an 18-wheeler smash in the back of me by slamming on my brakes. He swerved and missed me. I also went to... I later on met with my brother and my sister, and they kind of... I don't know if they'd believe me or trusted what I was saying. So I went to the liquor store, bought a bottle of tequila, and just drove and drank until I was so drunk and I had finished the whole bottle that I luckily just finally found this spot and pulled off and slept. And then I also tried to, you know, swallow a bunch of my pain meds and kill myself. And I just want to live. So I realized I was in a, you know, I'd already been through a lot. Being paralyzed, being picked on as a kid because of my ear. I wanted to change. I wanted to do more. So what I did is I called my dad, talked to him, and said, "Hey, I need a lifeline here." So he moved me to Iowa, or helped me get back here to Iowa, set me up with an apartment, and I was really grateful for that because as that happened, I found this organization that did adaptive sports called Sportability of Iowa, and I got involved with this organization, and I started playing basketball and really traveling, and I got, you know, I found a meaning for my life. I found a calling for me that I wanted to provide these opportunities for other individuals. I was able, with Sportability, I was able to help coach and bring an adult team together. And we kind of played for a year. And then shortly after that, I ended up helping create and start a youth wheelchair basketball team as well. And that really, you know, opened the doors for me and seeing, you know, there's a purpose for my life and why I'm still here. The situations that I went through definitely molded me as a person, and I saw the opportunities there that I probably wouldn't have if I actually went through with fully committing suicide. But I'm grateful I got to be involved with these adaptive sports, playing wheelchair basketball, teaching these kids, coaching them. In the process of this, I also met many other individuals that had similar disabilities and just seeing the differences and struggles that these individuals went through. One particular individual, Spencer Carver, he was one of the athletes that had a spinal cord injury similar to mine. And he came to the program and started playing basketball with us. And he was actually recruited by a college to play wheelchair basketball. About a year and a half after playing there, he actually came home and he committed suicide. And so I always look back and wonder, you know, how I could make sure other individuals, you know, don't do the same thing and help them through these struggles. And Adaptive Sports, I think, was a big avenue for me to kind of get involved with and provide those opportunities for other individuals to kind of play the sports and, you know, feel part of something, feel part of a team or a group. Shortly after that, I was, you know, ecstatic. We had our youth team that we were able to start, and I was also playing for a team out of Chicago, so I was traveling and playing on a team as well. And through all this, there was a huge moment that I had a partner of mine, you know, Amy Vanderkamp. She was a big influence in my life and just keeping me grounded as a person. And she came in, and we actually met through playing basketball every week with Sportability and through traveling together and stuff, and seeing her story really kind of gave light to us just kind of starting more things for the opportunities for kids to have the opportunity to play and be involved in basketball and wheelchair basketball and traveling and playing, just, you know, doing different things and having opportunities that most kids don't. They have these type of disabilities growing up. We spent 3-4 years, you know, growing and developing programs, and then we ended up with our lives kind of meshing together and becoming, you know, uniting together and being partners, and really went through a lot with her health personally. I was just kind of trying to be the rock and be the person for her to lean on and stand on through her open heart surgery. She had 2 open heart surgeries in about a year's time. And we've, you know, bought a house together and really, you know, just trying to enjoy, you know, the day-to-day life and understanding now that, you know, to breathe and live every day is a new beginning and something that, you know, we can do great things together, and anybody that, you know, wants to work together can do achieve great things. And, you know, bringing the kids together and coaching them, taking them to a national tournament as a prep team, and really helping them succeed and seeing the opportunities has always been a big positive in our life, and a big reason why I continue to want to give back and provide more options for individuals with disabilities or anything really to just be included and play together and live life and enjoy what is out there. I don't want, you know, you don't ever want to see somebody feel so down on themselves that they want to, you know, take their life and end it. Because I've been there. I mean, from experience, doing it and trying and failing at it. Gladly that I did fail, but you know, it's not a fun time for anybody. Especially the people around you, the family and friends you do have around you that you could potentially hurt in this situation. So with this, you know, we fight every day and continue to want to, you know, strive to provide more opportunities, give more options for individuals to be included, and just continue on with, you know, having something, a legacy, I guess, of some sort to leave behind. Saying, I know David Kiley, one of the great wheelchair basketball Paralympians, says, you know, leaving a wheel print on these individuals and giving them, you know, something to, you know, take and continue on and grow as individuals and become leaders and somebody, you know, that people look up to. So, I mean, now with everything, life to today, you know, just refocusing on me personally and really looking forward to the future, seeing what I can do to provide more options of adaptive sports. Now working with the North American Wheelchair Basketball League, I've been grateful that, you know, Keith Wallace brought me in on this and creating this new league that is inclusive for anybody to play, able-bodied or disabled, to play alongside together and compete on a team, and being involved with that and trying to grow something new is always fun. And I'm excited to see the future of things. You know, I have a lot of history of past stories and things that have happened to me in my life that I could speak to, of, you know, things that have gotten me down and put me in dark places. But I'm glad that I've always had the mindset to stay strong and continue thinking through and being positive as much as I can. You know, my dad always said, you know, take every negative and create two positives out of it. That'll always keep you in a positive mindset. And so I've always, you know, strived to think that through when something goes wrong, is try to pull the positive out of the situation, regardless of how hard it is. The hardest things in life is definitely keeping positivity when we're surrounded by negativity. We're surrounded by influences around us that, you know, bring us down sometimes. And you want to be always lifted up and encouraged, but sometimes we have to dig deep and strive to, you know, find that strength and that positivity. And I'm glad that I was able to and continue to do the things that I do, traveling around the country. You know, my goals are really to create more adaptive sports programs across the U.S., create more opportunities. I would love to, you know, just have the opportunity to go into as many schools as possible and tell my story and tell people about how, you know, that, you know, I've been down this path of, you know, I thought things were going to end and be done with, and I want to grow and share that story with others so that they understand that, you know, there's not a reason to give up. You got to find, you know, that strength to continue, and, you know, your organization, Beautiful Strength, is a prime example of it. You know, you want people to tell their story of having that strength and that resilience to grow as a person and become better individuals and better for humanity. So I don't know how to end this.
Well, so, okay, I have a question. What can parents or people in general do to help their kids understand disabilities, or even like your ear? Like, why are kids such little shits? people swear on this and stuff, but it's like, where's the gap? Like, where are we missing that we're not creating humans that are accepting, or people that are, you know, like, why is that like that? And how can we have better conversations with kids or other adults even?
Yeah, I think it's a cultural thing. It's a lack of, you know, it's ignorance. I mean, it's just a lack of knowledge. I mean, people see what's portrayed, social media, whatever, you know, there's a perfect image portrayed. But at the end of the day, you know,
that's not how people look.
Yeah, they don't.
I mean, that's not how everybody looks.
Yeah, there's no normal. I mean, people say, oh, well, you're not normal. There's what is normal. There is no normalcy in life.
It's photoshopped. That's what it is. That's what normal is.
Well, it's a strive for perfection. It's a strive to be, you know, that perfect image or that perfect thing that you think that everybody wants to see and be. And as a kid, experiencing what I did with missing a left ear and being picked on and calling one ear, or being picked on and told, you know, just millions of things, you know, rude things. And I don't think it was intentionally the kid being bad, or, you know, or wanting to be abusive to me. I think it was more of a lack of understanding and knowledge that I was different compared to everybody else.
Like, or I'll make that person feel bad so I don't have to, like, recognize my own downfalls or not shortfalls.
Yeah. And that could be too, you know, and that's where that conversation and that dialect, you know, I think a lot of people are even myself. I mean, we want to keep that to ourselves. I mean, we don't want to have these tough conversations and stuff, and we don't want to continue pushing the envelope sometimes because we're afraid of what somebody's going to think. It's going to be exhausting too. Oh yeah, it's definitely. I mean, you're tired physically and emotionally. You're tired just getting up on a day-to-day basis and just, you know, I gotta do all this extra work just to get dressed and shower, and you know, it's tiring, it's taxing on the body. But you know, if it can change somebody else's life and in perspective of they are somebody worth, you know, being here and living and doing something with their life, you know, there's beautiful things that can come from this. And I think that's something that, you know, a lot of people oversee. We're all different individuals. We're all different, you know, we all have different paths, you know, whether you walk, roll, run, it don't matter. We all do go down different situations and circumstances. You know, I can speak to many of times where, you know, I've walked into a place and, you know, I've had situations where just even rolling into a restaurant and they don't even want to serve me or give me food because they, you know, they don't want to deal with the chair, you know, situation, me being in the chair and having access to sit at the table and stuff. Or the funniest thing is the server right away, oh, you want a table? Not really. I'd rather sit in a booth. I don't really want to sit in my chair while I eat dinner. You know, like I want to be comfortable. I want to sit in a booth or, you know, and be comfortable. You know, people are like, kind of look at you like, well, why do you want a booth? Like you're in a chair, you just sit in your chair. It's like, I don't want to be in my chair all the time. I want to get out, you know? And that's, I think that leads to like where the sports come into play is water skiing, is a whole new world for me. I got involved with that at a clinic in Arizona through Barrows Neurological Hospital, and they did a clinic, and I started water skiing. One time tried it out, and after that I always had this urge to go again. And what it is it's an ability to get out of my chair into something different, try something different, and have fun and just be freed and enjoy myself. And they don't see the differences. They just like, hey, you want to do this? Let's get you in and go. Like they encourage you and want you to do it. And that's, you know, that's what I want to promote is people, you know, to encourage each other to, you know, if you want to do something, you can do it. You know, I water ski, I play basketball, you know, I've done the downhill mountain biking, you know, I've done all these different activities and stuff that I enjoy.
What's like on your list to do that you haven't tried yet?
Well, I've done the indoor skydiving, but I would really like to jump actually out of the plane skydiving. That's definitely on my list. And I think one of my other big things is I would really like to travel, not just the U.S., but internationally. I've traveled a lot as a kid. I've been back and forth between all the way from, you know, pretty much the whole West Coast down to Mexico, in New Mexico and stuff. I have family down there and stuff. We have a house down there. So I
need a school bus.
Yeah, I need a school bus, an RV. So something, to, you know, some way to get around and enjoy. But yeah, going internationally too, like I want, you know, there's places I want to see what it's like, you know, in Great Britain and in Italy and stuff like that, you know, in Indonesia, Japan, and Tokyo, and China. Like I would love to go see what is the differences from the U.S. to there and see how much things are the same or different, and really, you know, enjoy seeing the world too.
Do you think the world's getting better at being more accessible?
From my perspective, mm-hmm. We definitely have made great strides in the U.S., but I still think we have a lot left to do. I think honestly, our society and our government has limited our capacity to grow as a society because they're putting stipulations and laws and regulations. You have to do this, mandating the ADA compliance stuff, you know, things like that. You know, everybody's so lawsuit happy. The second something doesn't go right or you don't agree with it, you want to file a lawsuit and sue somebody for it. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be people want to willingly help you make it accessible for you. You want to, you know, you know your building or you know your facility or you know your activities aren't 100% accessible, but you should, you know, those individuals putting those on should want to do that. And that's not the case in our society. They don't, the caring heart and the compassion for others is a huge lack
until
in our culture.
Until it happens to them.
Yeah. And then when it happens to you, you're paralyzed like me. And then I'm in a chair. Now I realize, whoa, like I was kind of an asshole before I was paralyzed because I was the one that was always in the handicap stall, you know, and I'd never really encountered another individual in the wheelchair needing that extra space to get it out or even just a parking spot. I don't really need to be front row. I just need the room so that I don't hit your car with my chair as I get it out.
Right.
I don't want to be an inconvenience to somebody. I just want to be able to have the accessibility to do the things I do on a day-to-day basis without me physically causing problems for somebody else because my car door, I have to swing way open and bring my chair out. And if you're too close to me, I'm going to slam, I'm going to hit your car. Not intentionally, not because I want to damage your vehicle, but it's possible. And, we try to compact and put so much into a little ball and so much into, squeeze people into places and pack them in, in parking lots and in stores and like events and stuff. And it's like, I know everybody wants to experience these things, but we have to think wider, broad range that there's more there that we need, everybody needs their space still. We still need to be, thinking of others than just ourselves. And, because I could be having the best day of my life and one little situation of just like, we'll take, for example, the Iowa State Fair. We went about two, three years ago. And the only thing we went to go do is we went to get cash at the ATM. Well, the ATM machine is sitting on the curb about a foot back from the curb, the front facing the curb. So you try to tell me a wheelchair has to be able to fit in front of this ATM machine and not fall off the curb and be able to get money out so that we can just go buy food and hang out. Like, that's a big inconvenience. Like, that's like, why would you set an ATM right next to the curb? Like, set it back a ways, and that was...
Do you know who runs the Iowa State Fair now?
No.
My sister.
Does she?
This is her first year.
Nice.
I'm totally going to make a note of that, and I will tell her that. Well, was there any other things? You can write it down, and you can let me know, and I will pass on the information.
And that's what I mean. Like, and it wasn't really like it caused, like, it made it or break our day, but it definitely is, little things like that for somebody might cause a big issue. And
or it might be great to have a person like you on a board or on something to just be like, here's a different perspective. Like, here's something you might not have thought of because I wouldn't think of that.
Yeah.
Might now, but I might not have.
Yeah. And that's, putting the outside the box thinking, talk about, people think inside the box. I'm definitely an outside the box thinker and I have some crazy wild ideas, things that people are like, look at me to shake my head, Vince, like,
ooh, okay, now you got to share at least like one or two. Anything's possible, right?
Definitely. I've always, when I was younger, I guess, I always talked about, having a big house and like having like all my family living together.
Sounds
like,
horrible.
Right? But then,
whatever.
As I was younger.
That dream.
Right.
Dream
but I enjoyed family time. I enjoyed spending time with my cousins and my family and my aunts mm-hmm. and uncles. And we always have a good time. We went on a cruise together to the Bahamas and took a cruise ship one year. And there was like 20 of us that went, all family. And it was after my accident and I'm in my chair. I spent probably 90% of the time by myself. And I was really surprised because it wasn't really because I wanted to. It was more of every time that I wanted to go do something with them, like I had to go on the opposite end of the ship to catch the elevator to go to the next floor and then back across the ship. So it was like me running across the ship the whole time trying to catch up with my family because, they can just go up the stairs or go, it's right. Easy access to them. So they can go come and go as they want. So it was like I ended up going out and just kind of doing my own thing. I went to the pool deck and hang out, or I'd go to the the casino and on the ship and played poker. Or, you know, I ended up spending, you know, some of my time by myself, and it was great for me because it was an experience that I always wanted to go on a cruise ship. But it was just interesting because I have 20 other people, family around, and the amount of time that I physically spent with them was probably not maybe 10%, 20%. And it wasn't because of them not wanting to be with me or me not wanting to be with them. It was more of a physical barrier because of the chair, me having to, you know, maneuver the ship and navigate the ship differently because it's not accessible 100%, you know. It's not as easy to get around from one spot to another. You know, that's just a small example. I've encountered that with other things too. You know, if I wanted to go skiing again with them now, well, now I got to go get my special ski. I got to get a special instructor to teach me how to ski again, you know, and it's just a lot more steps, a lot more work. And I'm willing to do that, you know, as a person, because I enjoy the sports. I enjoy the adrenaline of the activities I do. But I also noticed that I've also become very, very much a loner in life and doing things more on my own. And when I do get a chance to work with others and play in a team situation, it's great because it's eye-opening and it helps me see the things that maybe I didn't see before. So, what other questions you have about this?
What are some kind of misconceptions that people might have about somebody in a wheelchair that are either 100% wrong or inaccurate?
That we're not sexual. I'll tell you that right now. A lot of people, here's an example. So Grandma Little's funeral, all the cousins and family came back for my grandma's funeral and stuff here in Iowa. And afterwards, we all decided to go to Waterloo to the Wheelhouse, which was a club, dance club. And we went there and we got there and we were sitting around drinking and stuff. And I was flipping crap to my cousin and I told him, I says, I bet you 5-10 minutes, I says, there'll be a girl come up to me and ask if I can even dance because I'm in a chair. And sure enough, 5 minutes in, we're sitting there, a girl walks up, can you dance in that? You know, and just the curiosity, you know, of them. And I'm like, of course. So, you know, we went on the dance floor and danced and stuff. And that was, you know, and he was just like in awe, like, how? Like you just willingly went out there and danced. I'm like, of course. So like, why would I turn down? I'm like, I'm going to dance with this girl and have a good time. You know, another experience is, you know, to tailor on that further is, you know, the misconception of, you know, girls will approach me and say, you know, can you have sex? Can you do this? Can you do that? And it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm independent. I live on my own. Now how I do it might be different. You know, it might take a little more work. It might take a little bit different effort, but I mean, it's definitely physically possible. It's just a matter of time. That was probably one of the big downfalls with my ex-wife is, you know, she wanted to have a kid, but she didn't want to, you know, do the action to make it happen. And at the time, we didn't know if I could, for fertility reasons with a spinal cord injury. It drops you're not potent, or, you know, you're not fertile sometimes. And so that's, you know, and I still don't know that to this day, if I am or not. But, you know, that's an example of that. Another one is, you know, just, what can I say? Let's see here. What are the things that I've, stories do I have that I remember? I went and visited a friend I met online. They lived in Fort Collins, Colorado. And this guy, you know, we went and hang out and we were going to go to the bar and stuff. Well, they wanted to go to the rooftop for the bar. Well, there's no elevator. So luckily these guys are all, you know, got enough buddies with me. They all carried my butt up the steps and stuff, yeah, you know, and took me up to the rooftop and we got to hang out up there and drink and stuff. But, you know, that was us working together and adapting to the situation. You know, my other buddy lives in Fort Collins. He lives on the third floor of an apartment. And I really wanted to come hang out and see him and stuff. And we ended up having to carry me all the way up that three flight of stairs to get up there, you know. And
you're not a small person.
No. I mean, I've definitely put on a little bit of weight with COVID. I was probably 190, 180 then even. But, I mean, I'm probably, you know, 220, 230 now. But, I mean, that's still, regardless, I mean, that's a heavy, that's a lot of weight, yeah, to carry. You know, and then my brothers, they always talk about, you know, these different stories and stuff of us going out and, you know, doing things. And, you know, they have to help me out, but they're always amazed of, you know, just just the ability to continue persevering and pushing through the disability, being in the chair and being active, and you know, the grind never stops. And that's the thing is people have to remember is you know, you want something in life, you're going to have to go out and work for it. It's not a sit at home and collect unemployment check like a lot of people have been doing lately and not doing anything, you know. It's about getting out there and putting yourself out there and working for your dreams and your goals and finding a way to make it happen, you know. And your goals aren't going to always stay the same. They're going to change over time. I know for a fact that, you know, I used to always dream of, you know, doing big things and having a business and running, you know, being an architect and building these fancy, nice buildings and stuff like that. And I went to school for that to Montana State University, and I dropped out shortly after and realized, you know, I still like it, but I wasn't, you know, I realized it wasn't really a goal that I wanted to keep pursuing. So, you know, so now it's, you know, my goals are, you know, really just to focus on, you know, changing the perspective of, you know, inclusion and people and individuals being together and participating together, being able to be a cohesive community and society that, you know, works together to achieve a common goal of, you know, including everybody. And being part of something is always feels good to be part of an organization or a group or a team that achieves something great. And, you know, making it to a national tournament and taking second place with my team. Yeah, it's second place. It sucks. We were the first loser. But, I mean, it's still an achievement on its own to right. go to something like that and place that high against other, you know, high-level athletes and elite-level players that are working for that same goal. And so now, you know, with the Paralympics coming and stuff, I'm excited to see what our USA Paralympians do. And, you know, I've been big on Facebook. Everybody's like, oh, the Olympic medal count, the final count. I'm like, no, not really, because the Paralympics still haven't taken place. Mm-hmm. So really, USA still has a lot more medals to win.
I want to go to that so bad.
To the Paralympics? Yes. Much?
Yeah, I want the Paralympics and I want Special Olympics. I'm just going to put that out there. Yeah. I want this project to be at both of those.
Yeah, no, that
I want them at the regular Olympics too, but I also want the Paralympics and Special Olympics.
Yeah, no, and they're both great organizations, you know. Both the Special Olympics and the Paralympics, you know, are both something a lot of us strive for. And
do you want to be it?
I always did. I actually went to a Paralympic wheelchair basketball camp in Birmingham, Alabama back in 2015, and I kind of tried out. I think it would be great to go, but I also know the amount of physical work that's required behind that. And I know me, I have a little bit of a streak of a laziness at times. I don't want to get up every day and do what I need to do. So sitting, you know, trying to work out and stay in physical peak shape to compete with the top level athletes in the world is something that would be great. But I know what it would take. And it's not just a couple months here and there. It's years and years of work mm-hmm. and participation and
effort. And like a full-time yeah. job.
And it's, you know, financially, I mean, how do you support that financially? I mean, you still got to have a means of being able to do all that, because that takes money. I mean, too. I mean, everything, unfortunately, in this world, everything revolves around money at times. And it's it limits your ability to do things. I mean, if I was a millionaire, I mean, I'd be able to do whatever I wanted. But that's a goal to achieve, obviously, is for anybody, is if you want to be a millionaire, be able to do whatever you want, you know, you're going to achieve that. And it's going to take years of work. It's not going to just fall into your lap unless you win the lottery. You
know? I don't play the lottery, so.
Well.
I buy scratchers.
That's a start.
I like $100. So. That's about it.
But
I take that back. I do get the lottery tickets when it's like that crazy one.
Yeah,
and
the
I
crazy amount.
Win anything.
Yeah, we always wishing and hoping, like, let me be that one. Let me be that one.
I would do so many good things.
Everybody says that.
No, you know. I know I would, though.
I see. I know that I would, too. But,
I just want the chance.
But I think, we don't win it because we're showing that we need to, you know, we can work for that and we're willing to work for that in life. And
way to bring it back to like a perspective.
And so, and that's the thing. That's, you know, the beautiful strength, like you talk about in your organization is, and you know, when I met you and saw you online is, you know, that's key thing is, you know, having that strength to continue to work and fight for what you want in your life and not let these down, this negativity and these down things take you to a point that there's no return. Because once you're gone, once you're dead, I mean, there's no coming back. I mean, that's internal. That's infinite. And so, you know, we want to stay around as long as we can and keep giving back every day that we can and providing, you know, whatever it be, even if it's just taking care of our dogs for the day or being that bright spot in somebody's life that day, or a smile, or somebody smiling at somebody and, you know, brightening their day, or having a conversation when they're having a bad day, and, you know, just trying to uplift them in life and continue that on.
It's so simple too. Just a hi and smile. Yeah. Like, sometimes that's all you need.
Well, I mean, the gentleman that just, you know, works, that comes in here every day and all he does is come in and take a shower, and me and have a conversation. And he's a vet. He's a veteran, and, you know, and he's gone through some things. And right now, you know, he recently got hit by a car, a Mack truck. And so he's, you know, dealing with some struggles and PTSD with it and some pain. And I can sympathize with him. But, I'm here to be a listening ear and
help him find a date.
Help him keep going, because... Yeah, he wanted us a date. So if you know any
30-year-old blondes out there. 30-year-old
blondes, they like old men. Yeah.
That's too old. I didn't see him either. I don't know what he looks like. Is he attractive? Who knows?
So, but I appreciate you having me. I hope that everything continues to go well with us, with your organization and what your vision and your goals are. And you know, I hope that, you know, through this, there's more connections to come and we can, you know, branch out and do more myself as well, with the adaptive sports community and providing some other opportunities in the area.
I have a couple friends that I really want to introduce you to, because they kind of have that same mindset as you too. So, and I think eventually it would be cool. Like you said, you want to go, or you do go out and speak to people. Uh-huh. Someday, it might not be this year, it might not be next year, but someday I'd like to do some sort of, like, it would be beautiful strength, but it would have various speakers that can come. So I'll put you on the roster.
Sounds good. Well, okay. I appreciate that. I'd be excited to have that. So,
all right. Any last final words the quote that you put on your photo, say what that is and your meaning for that, or how you started saying that.
So my quote is, inclusion sees no difference in ability. Just kids having fun with smiles on their face. Let me repeat that so I say it right. Inclusion sees no difference in ability. Just kids having fun with smiles on their face. So this actually stemmed from what I used to do. Is I was going into the schools and teaching PE classes, and it didn't matter if the kid was disabled, able-bodied, or what. I put them in the chair and play basketball, and they would just... they're laughing and having a good time. And of course my phone goes off in the middle of our conversation. But they're laughing, having a good time, and just, you know, seeing that smile on those kids and what it does and brings to them, it just resonates with my heart. It fills my love tank, per se, as some say. And it just kind of, I enjoy, you know, being able to see that and have these kids see a different perspective and experience something that they might never ever get to experience. And I don't wish nobody to be in a chair, but it's something that, you know, they get to see, and they might have a mindset of later on down the road seeing, hey, this person's in a chair. I want to be kind to them and, you know, give out a reaching hand to them. Because I have, you know, been in, you know, it might only been the day playing, but in a wheelchair playing basketball, but, you know, they have a little bit of an understanding. And that quote really resonated with me, you know, when starting the youth team that I started here in Iowa, and when I started that, and I always keep that quote, because that's always, you know, it's always about the kids. They're the future of our world. They're the leaders. They're going to be the people that are going to make the changes that we couldn't make. And they're going to be the reason why, you know, we're a better society. So we got to instill that in them early and teach them young, you know, that, you know, not, there is no normal. Everybody is different and everybody has their quirks and their differences. But we all have to get along. We all play a part in this world, and we all have our piece to, you know, be beautiful and be strong.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think that was a perfect way to end that. So thank you so much. I highly enjoyed this. Thanks.